From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Thronberry.
And good morning, America. How are you? And welcome to Veterans Radio on Saturday, October 20th, 2012. We're very excited to have you on the program this morning. And we want to give you the phone number to give us a call if you've got something you want to talk about. That is 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. We've got an exciting program lined up today. We're hoping to get in touch with our guest. We haven't heard from him yet, so we'll just kind of keep talking until we get in touch with him. His name is Luis Montalvan, and he has written a great story about his dog Until Tuesday. The dog is Tuesday, and he's a service dog, and I'm anxious to have Luis on the program to talk about this story, and I think that you'll all find it very interesting, especially all you dog lovers out there. This dog, in essence, saved his life in more ways than one. But right off the bat, we've got a guest from our local establishment here in the Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor area, and that's from the Yankee Air Force Museum. And I want to welcome to our program today, Steve, where did you go? There you are. All right, this is Steve Garish from the Yankee Air Museum, or Scott Garish from the Yankee Air Museum. Scott, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, let's talk about a little bit about the Yankee Air Museum. What is it the Yankee Air Museum all about?
Well, the Yankee Air Museum is about preserving history, aviation themed, but also the history of global warfare itself.
What type of a displays do you have and things along those lines?
Well, currently on display is restored Huey from Vietnam, F-84. Outside of the museum is an air park that's in the process of being moved, but there's everything from World War II aircraft to B-52 Stratofortress. Inside is a completely hand-built World War I SPAD.
Wow. That sounds cool. I've been over to the Yankee Air Museum a number of times, and you always sponsor the Thunder Over Michigan program in the summertime, where you have all these different airplanes flying into Willow Run Airport, and it's always a great program. And plus, you've got your museum now that you're starting up, and that's one of the purposes for our call today, is that you are looking for relics and memorabilia from where?
Well, we're looking for memorabilia. I'll back up. We're always looking for anything from any period, but the current project is a new focus that starts with the Vietnam era and runs up through the current wars in Iraq, Afghanistan. So anything that tells a story from those periods is desperately needed. There's a going to be a big focus centered around that Huey helicopter and an F-4 Phantom to pay tribute to the Vietnam veterans. And then, as I said, moving forward through Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, I know that your exhibits over there have been great, and you've almost recovered from that terrible fire you had a number of years ago, where you lost a lot of your exhibits, and that's one of the reasons why we're starting to collect all these uniforms and hats and other paraphernalia that many veterans in the area might have. How would they get them to you?
Well, there's several ways. I mean, probably the easiest way is to go to the website, and that's www.yankeeairmuseum.org. And on the website, there's several different ways to contact the museum. By telephone, it's 734-483-4030. And ask for Pete Stone. He's a collections manager. The museum's open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 4, so anybody could just walk in, bring the items in, and one of the volunteers would direct them to the right area. And then there's also contact information on the website, so if they preferred to use email, again, they just hit the contact link and email Pete Stone. And Pete would get back with them with all the information.
Okay. You mentioned that the museum is open, you said, Tuesday through Sunday?
Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4.
And is there a charge to get in, or a requested donation?
Yeah, there's a charge, and it's a tiered charge. So depending on age, if it's a group, so there's several different ways. But generally, admission is $5. There's docents that can provide a guided tour. As you mentioned, we're still very much working to recover from the fire. So things are in a fluid state. They change pretty quickly now.
Can you talk about the flights that people can take if they're willing to, you know, to pay for them?
Great
gifts coming up for Christmas, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, the flying season is pretty well over for the year, but there is a flyable B-17 from World War II, the Yankee Lady. There's the Yankee Warrior, which is a B-25 aircraft, again, from World War II. And flights can be booked on either of those planes all throughout the spring, summer, and fall. And it's a great experience if there's somebody that loves to do that.
What kind of donation do they need to make to get on one of those flights?
Oh, boy. you're getting me a little bit out of my league there.
Okay.
Believe the B-17, which is our most popular experience, is somewhere in the realm of $450.
Okay.
So,
Now, I suppose in that we should tell our audience that it costs an awful lot of money to keep these guys up in the air.
Definitely. With the fuel, the maintenance, anytime those aircraft aren't flying, they're being worked on by the crew. And those crew are all volunteers. There's mm-hmm. very few paid people.
And I know that you've come up with a program recently that I got an email blast from you folks about adopting an aircraft, and that you are looking for probably especially Vietnam veterans who want to adopt a Huey.
Definitely. There's several aircraft available, and it's as you mentioned, it's a new program. Again, it would just contact the museum, same phone number, 734-483-4030. Ask for Bob Catalano, and there's several aircraft on the list that are available, so that could be the Huey all the way up through that B-52 Stratofortress. Adopt-a-plane is designed to get groups involved with just the yearly maintenance, coming in once or twice a year, helping to clean, get the planes ready for events like Thunder Over Michigan and some of the other things that go on at the museum.
All right. Well, Scott, I want to thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio. We're talking with Scott Garish of the Yankee Air Museum, and you can just go to yankeeairmuseum.org, and you can find out all about this information. They are looking for uniforms, paraphernalia, memorabilia, anything from the Vietnam era all the way up through today, and probably World War II and anything else that you might find in the attics. So make sure you give them a call if you can to help them out. The number again, I believe, was 734-483-4030, correct?
Correct.
All right, Scott, thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio, and we will be right back after these messages, folks.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Thank you. beautiful.
And that's our good friend Willie Nelson. I bet you didn't know Willie Nelson was in the Air Force and is a strong supporter of veterans' issues, and we wanted to make sure that we got that. We're going to be playing a lot of tunes from an album dedicated to 9/11, and right now we're waiting to hear from our guest today, and that is Luis Montalvan. His book is entitled Until Tuesday. But joining me on the line right now to help me fill in some time is my partner and friend, Bob Gould. Bob, thanks for calling in.
Well, you're welcome, Dale, and say hello to everybody out there. It's on a different vein here. I'm on the cell phone rather than in front of the microphone, but I can hear you loud and clear. Roger that, old Huey helicopter pilot.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We were talking about the idea today was to talk about service dogs and how they help people out. And I know that there are people out there that are listening, so that are participating with service dogs. So we're going to ask them to, you know, give us a call and let us know, you know, what we can do to help out and to talk a little bit more about these. Our number here is 877-573-7825. And we'll be happy to talk to you about that. But right now, we're just going to be trying to fill in our information and let our audience know what's going on in Veterans Radio in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I want to talk about something. Our November 10th program. It's our unofficial, or is it our official anniversary date for Veterans Radio?
Well, I think it's close enough for government work, as they say. That would be 9 years.
Yes. Good God. Oh, Lord. It has been great. It still is exciting every single week, especially when I'm on the air. My heart beats. And when you get the countdown to go to the on-air, and boy, when they throw that computer over to us, we are broadcasting to the entire world.
We are, and we've got listeners I know that have tuned in today from around the world, including overseas, because they wanted to hear this story about these service dogs. And actually, the whole story was referred to me by my barber. And Tom, if you're listening, we're waiting to hear from Luis. So as soon as we can get in contact with him, we'll get him on the air. So I wanted to thank Tom for referring the book to me. It's a great story. But you mentioned that we are coming up on our anniversary, and it's also going to be the birthday of the Marines.
Yes, it is.
So we're going to be talking to Marines. Since we're not Marines, we don't quite understand the mindset of Marines.
No. No, don't go there, Dale. Don't go there.
No, I'm not.
No.
We know that they are a different breed. Let's put it that way.
They are, and they're really cool guys. I have some... acquaintances that I know that are former Marines. Unless I said former, everybody made the mistake one day of saying ex. Woo!
Oh, I know.
Oh, I still sore from that one. Chewed me below the waist. Y'all know where that is, right? Yeah. Woo! Chewed the upside and one down the other. But we will have half our program is going to be about being Jewish. Yes, we've never done a program about being Jewish and being in the service. Having your religion, what does that mean? We will have an author of Deborah Dash Moore, who is a professor of history, Jewish history, and at the University of Michigan, and she wrote the book G.I. Jew. So we will be covering that. Oh, that's going to be so interesting, and it's going to be a soldier story. How appropriate for Armistice Day, eh?
I think so. And you, when we were talking about this story, you mentioned how supportive that the Jewish are of our military.
Big time.
You mentioned that they had bought a transport van for the VA here in Ann Arbor.
Oh, they bought a bus.
A bus.
Even a big
better.
Bus. 30-foot bus. It was called the Bluebird. That's who made it. And it was brand new. You know, it was none of this other stuff. So they were very supportive. What I think is really cool about the story is that the story of certain prejudices and overcoming that is not just with Jewish soldiers. It was with a number of soldiers, black soldiers, Mexican soldiers, Indian soldiers. So that's why I'm presenting that as part of a tribute to all the soldiers, sailors, and airmen, but how that affected all of us that were in the same barracks together.
Well, that's true. And one of the great things about being in the military is that it levels the playing field when it comes to diversity. You know, you think of all of the people that we met when we were in the service from all around the world, all different religions, and you just had to get along. That was the game because you were. Go ahead.
And the ones who did it in basic training were booted out. They were let go in basic training. They were finished. They were gone.
And
what was left, you put your stuff aside. You put your feelings aside, whatever you might have thought before, because you all had to get along. I was from Detroit, very racially divided city, and I remember coming back from maneuvers in Colorado. We're riding in the back of a Dusanet, and folks, they don't have any sides at Kansas. Yeah, right. Blowing all around. My feet were frozen. I thought I had frostbite. And this, this black soldier, Ray Gilbert. Boy, if you happen to be listening, Ray, from Detroit, I took my boots off, and he put them inside his wool shirt. In other words, to get them warm. Really did that.
Wow.
And here I'm a white kid, and I'm like, whoa, never saw that before, never thought about that before. So it even affected me.
Well, I think that's interesting, of course, because we're looking back over 50 years ago when we're talking about these experiences that we had. It really opened our eyes, I think.
And it did. It put you all in. It got cold on everybody, got hot on everybody. When the water wasn't there, it did that for everybody. We were all there, and we were all sharing. I loved it. And I would do it again in a million years. So we're going to be covering that. And the second part is going to be the birthday, I don't know, what do you say, anniversary, birthday of the founding of the Marines. Now, I don't know if that's the official date. Is that, Dale, you seem to know more about that than I do.
Well, I'm not a Marine either, but I do know that it was coming up around that time. And this is a good opportunity for a talk to our listening audience and say, listen, we're looking for Marines.
To
call into that program on the 8th of November and tell us what it was like to be a Marine.
Don't worry about ever being on the radio, none of that. It's going to be like being on the telephone, say who your name is, or don't say if you don't want folks to know, whatever. But talk about what unit you were in, and just give us a very short one or two sentences, three or four, on what it was to be a Marine, what it was. And I'm sure you don't lose that. I know we did a program, folks, if you go to our archives, on Corps Marines, which was about business and the 30 principles of business that are part of Marine Corps culture and training, and how that has prepared so many for the military. And can I say, Dale, very quickly, one of them who were involved, we are involved directly because we broadcast on his network, is Mr. Tom Bunahan. Who's that? Well, that's right. Founder and former president of Domino's Pizza. And he is a former Marine. Not only that, that's right, Mr. Mike Ilitch, another founder and president of Little Caesar's Pizza. Now, here's two guys 30 miles apart in the Detroit suburbs area, 30 miles apart. They didn't even know about one another. And at the same time, they began billion-dollar-a-year businesses. Now, I don't believe that's a coincidence. And Mr. Ilitch and Mr. Monahan, both former Marines. And when you look at the core principles of business that the Marines have in their culture and in their training, it prepares them for that, for leadership. Not just business, but leadership. And that's so important today with the Marines that are looking for positions, all you employers out there. Keep that in mind. I was talking to a large employer outside of Ann Arbor a couple of weeks ago, 5,000 employees. I said, how many are veterans? Oh, we got quite a few. Well, how many? Well, we don't keep track of that. Why not? And why not look at absentee rates? They show up. Former service people show up.
That's very true. Leaders
sick.
Very true.
What? You know, hungover. They show up for work. And they do their job.
I think one of the things that we've noticed is that in the last year, especially all the veteran job fairs that are going on. In fact, there's one coming up at the local community college, at Washtenaw Community College, on October 30th for veterans to come on over to the campus over there on Clark Road and Huron River Drive. And I think they've got somewhere between 35 and 50 employers that are looking for workers. And so if you are a veteran, especially from the Iraq-Afghanistan time period, you better get on over there. And they said veterans, it doesn't make any difference how old you are. If you want a job or you're looking for a job, to come on over there on October 30th and bring your resume with you.
Absolutely. And these are employers that are hip. They're getting the word out that by hiring former military people, you got all those attributes I was talking about. They show up. They show up. Mm-hmm. They don't take sick days. You don't do that. And you do your job. You do your job as instructed. And you can improvise if you need be. And all these are so important characteristics of having a good employee. I'm so encouraged to see that. And I know some of the fairs that you and I, Dale, the big one they had in Detroit back in July, I still think they're underattended. It's just that folks, just veterans, just don't know about it.
Well, that's one of the things, of course, that we're trying to do is to get that out, to make sure that people are aware of all of these different job fairs and opportunities. We want to make sure that that veterans out there take advantage of your military service and whatever you are entitled to, that you should be able to, you know, feel comfortable and, you know, utilizing those services that are available to you. I think that's so important. Many of us, for whatever reason, don't feel that we're entitled, and I hate to use that word entitled.
Bingo. I think that's a big word.
Maybe that's the word there. You know, it's just like kind of Social Security. It's an entitlement. Well, no, you paid into it. And in the case of the VA benefits system, you paid into it. You paid into it with your blood and with your time. And
you did your job, man.
That's right. That's right. Look at it as kind of your pension. Even if you didn't stay in a service for 25, 30 years, you still put in your time and you're allowed to do that. And if you need the help, go there. Take advantage of the situation. Take advantage of the services. They are trying to do everything they can at our local VAs and the VAs around the country to help today's veterans, and especially some of the older veterans, which we are now part of that. We're part of that generation, and it's important for you to go there. I want to remind our audience, if you just want to get in on the conversation, just talk about whatever you want to talk about today. It looks like we're going to kind of have an open mic program. Give us a call here at 877-573-7825. What do you want to talk about? One of those old Joe McCarthy programs, right? What's bothering you?
Well, there's actually nothing when it comes to jobs, because I'm so stoked and encouraged when I go to these fairs and I see what's available. Even if you are retired or disabled, mm-hmm. these job openings are available. They make not exceptions. They make environments comfortable, because once again, they know the basic. We're talking about the corporations, the companies that come to these in that exhibit. They know the characteristics of a military person, what that means. Now, going back to my little example, and he was a human resource director, and here he was, right there. We're sitting down having a beer, and I'd never met the man before, and I thought, how fortunate for me to run into this guy. 5,000 employees, so he's no lightweight. Mm-hmm. But they were not keeping track of the veteran population, how many were veterans, and what was the attributes and some of the things that were rewarded to the company, because they did take the time to bring in veterans. Now, that would be, and I don't know if I had them convinced by the end of the conversation, but it sure gave them something to think about, because he wants to have success. So there are a lot of positions, IT positions, mechanic positions, human resource, administration, that are available. Nothing, your experience, your big experience is that you did it. You put in your time. You're reliable. That's right. That's your big experience. Resume aside, anybody can make those up. But when they see that, and more employers, as I mentioned before, becoming hip to that, because they want to have success.
Absolutely, and I think that they know that they're going to find some really good employers. I just got a call back from Scott, who was talking about the Yankee Air Museum a little bit earlier, and we wanted to let people know that if you do want to go for a ride on a B-17, it's $425. On the B-25, it's $400. And, Bob, you went on the B-17.
Oh, can I take a moment or two and talk about that?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, it just so happened I was there as a journalist, and that was very, very fortunate. But I got a chance to. We had six former B-17 crew members. None of them, of course, they were older gentlemen, had been. They were going on the flight with me. Had been on a B-17 since the day they mustered out. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
40 years, 50 years later, here they are. And with awe, to watch them step into that plane just before, and of course they're warming up the engines. Some of them actually told me, "I don't believe I'm here." As we buckled them in, "I don't believe I'm really here. I don't believe this is happening. How could this wonderful thing be happening?" Well, it did. We took off, and we went to Detroit. So it's not just a up and down. It's I think an hour and a half flight. And we circled around Detroit, we circled around Canada, came over the Ambassador Bridge. I don't know, you're about 2,000 feet, I believe, at that point. But you could see a lot down there, and it was pretty much to the bombing altitude for the B-17, I think was around 2,000 feet.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's what LeMay, so that they wouldn't miss their targets as much. And I think it was even lower than that. Shook those planes up when those bombs went off, that's for sure. But anyway, so we flew over Detroit, and then we went north for about 20 minutes, and then continued west over farmland, to get back to Ypsilanti and the Yankee Air Museum. Now, one thing that I lucked out on, I was able to get into the navigator's seat. Now, folks, that's a bubble. That's a plastic bubble. And you have nothing below your feet. While you're in the air, you're sitting on a seat, of course, but you look down. There's nothing there. There's a bubble. The fuselage is behind you, the metal. So you're looking down. And what that must have been like, I don't think it was a bombardier. That's what it was who was there. And there he was, looking down, and seeing that ground, you were like you were free-falling. That was a thrill. Every person that was on board got a chance to sit in that seat. Of course, you're looking dead ahead, and they had those twin, they had a 50 on the side, and they had a 50 in a turret below the nose. They had two 50s. So you got a chance to see that. And what a thrill. That, you know, if you're looking for somewhere to go next year and you're planning your summer vacations, then you're going to want to look at coming to Ypsilanti, Michigan, just outside of Ann Arbor, and about 20 minutes west of Detroit, the Yankee Air Museum, because it's a real deal. And they take a lot of pride and time to keep that B-17, the Yankee lady, keep that airplane just looking so good. Looking good, feeling good, flying good. But anyway, I got to say one thing I did do, they have a hatch. And if you don't know it's there, you miss it. But it's there. Now that I see photographs and film of B-17s, I look for the hatch. Well, they opened that to get some air in. And I said, could I stick my head out? Right?
Oh, this,
top of the airplane.
This is on top of the airplane, right.
Top of the airplane. A hatch on top of the airplane. Bent right by the, behind the top turret gunner. So you had the top turret behind you if you were looking aft at the tail. And he said, as I was just getting ready, I was standing up on the navigator's desk stick my head out there. He said, better take off your hat. And I had my hat on. Well, you know what would have happened? I'd have stuck my head out there with a hat. It would have been good to put my hat. We didn't want to do that. Well, anyway, I did. And it was so cool that I got to do that. I did. And what a view, folks. A view you'll never have again in your life to remember looking out. There was that tail. You're looking over the top of the aircraft. There was a tail. I turned around, and there was the turret gunner and the nose and the wings. I mean, it was really something. It was all part of that flight. So what a cool thing to do. Well, worth the time and the investment to experience that.
I think it's a great opportunity, especially for those of you out there who have a father or a grandfather or an uncle or someone who might have actually flown on a B-17, B-25. Give them that great thrill of a lifetime and let them go up in the air one more time. Bob, we're going to have to take a break right now. Thanks for calling in. And
you're welcome, Dale.
Here, and we need you to, whatever's bothering you out there, give us a call here on Veterans Radio at 877-573-7825. And we'll be right back after these messages.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Specialist Ross McGinnis threw his back against a grenade thrown into his Humvee, saving the lives of his crewmates. Details after this.
It's pouring rain. It's still dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
DC Summer Volkman became a United States Marine. Can you? Call 1-800-MARINES. Maybe you could be one of the few and the proud.
On December 4th, 2006, McGinnis was manning the turret in the last Humvee of a six-vehicle patrol in northeast Baghdad when an insurgent threw a grenade from the roof of a nearby building. As he stood up to get ready to jump out of the vehicle, as he'd been trained to do, officials say McGinnis realized the other four soldiers in the vehicle did not know where the grenade had landed and did not have enough time to escape. He threw his back against the radio mount and smothered the explosive with his body. McGinnis was killed instantly, while the other four men survived. He was awarded the Medal of Honor posthumously by President Bush on June 2, 2008. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan. I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Gates of
And that was Tom Petty and Heartbreakers, I believe. And I won't back down. And we won't back down either. So we're here for you today on Veterans Radio. And we want you to give us a call and let us know what's going on in the world of veterans at 877-573-7825. Our guest has not been able to, we have not been able to make contact with our guest so far today, and that was Luis Montalban, who's the author of Until Tuesday. I hope everything's all right, and we'll get him on another time. It's a great story, folks. I encourage you, while we're waiting, to go out and get a hold of the book, Until Tuesday. And it's a great story about a young man who goes off to war, comes back broken physically and mentally, and he is eventually helped out by a nice golden retriever who's had some emotional problems of his own. And it's just a wonderful and a warm story, and I apologize for not being able to make the connection for today, but we'll try. We'll keep on going, and maybe we'll get him before the end of the hour. But we want you to give us a call and let us know what you think at 877-573-7825. We didn't really set up a program this year on the political candidates, and probably that's because our partner Gary Lilly being killed last year, unfortunately. And Gary was the real political one of the group, and he always wanted to have politicians on to talk about their various issues and how they're going to help veterans and so on. And Nina, who's working hard in the control room, sent me this line from Mitt Romney that says that veterans' benefits are not a gift that is given, but a debt that is due. And I think that's really interesting. It says we think that the unconscionable waits for medical health treatment need to be dramatically shortened, and the suicide rate among active duty soldiers and veterans must be treated like the emergency that it is. And I certainly have to agree with Governor Romney on that. We cannot let these people wait for their help and their assistance. We constantly are reading stories in the news or in emails or in blogs or chat rooms and so forth about veterans that have to wait to get the help that they need. And I think that's unforgivable. And it's horrendous that they have to do this. You are asking us, and today it's our children, to go and fight your wars, and then you won't take care of us when we get home. And I know people don't think that PTSD is real, or it's, you know, it could be imagined, but you've run into some people that have had some very, very frightening experiences in their lives, and many times you're still trying to figure out, you know, they have this guilt complex because you don't know why you survived, and the man sitting in front of you, behind you, next to you is suddenly gone. And it's something that we all have experienced, and we need help. Just somebody to talk to, and that takes us seriously. And I think that was one of the issues that we heard on one of our programs in the past. And we've had some great response from the local VA, where they've come over and talked to us about their suicide prevention program and their, you know, the other health care that's being offered. But unfortunately, this is not the case in the VAs all around the country. And I think this is something that we have to find out what's going wrong and how are we going to fix it. So talk to whoever your candidate is, you know, and ask them this question. Let's get on some serious issues instead of some of these moral issues that people like to argue about all the time. It doesn't seem like some people take things seriously like we want them to. So that's my soapbox for right now. But we want you to give us a call and talk about these things at 877-573-7825. We've got some things coming up with Veterans Day coming up in a couple of weeks. And so I want to tell you, I just got an email from Bobski, who is talking about some discounts that are offered to veterans. So let me just kind of go through some of these real quickly, especially the ones that give you a free meal. If you are a veteran, just take proof with you to some of these restaurants. You've got Applebee's, where you can get a seven ounce house sirloin, fiesta, lime chicken, and some other things like that. So I think that would be kind of cool. You can go to Home Depot, which offers a 10% discount to every veteran all the time. All you need is a military ID or some sort of membership card to the VVA or VFW or American Legion or DAV or all the other acronyms that are out there. The other meals you can get, this is on Monday, November 12th. that you can go to Denny's for all-you-can-eat pancakes. You can go to Golden Corral, which they have done forever, it seems like. Is that free meal for any veteran who has served in the military from 4 till 9 p.m.? No identification is required to get that free meal. They trust us. Isn't that nice? Home Depot, 10% off discount. Lowe's, 10% discount. Atlas Van Lines will... Holy mackerel, we'll donate $500 to the Wounded Warrior Program if you utilize their services. A free wedding gown events for brides across America. California Association of Veteran Breakfast Inns are donating military specials for Veterans Days. National Parks, free Veterans Day admission. Ooh, kind of cool. Knott's Berry Farm, free admission. Newport Aquarium, free admission in Cincinnati, Ohio. All these great things that you can find on the web, just put in there Veterans Day appreciation offers, and I think you'll find many of them around the country that are going to be able to help you out. And it's a good way of honoring veterans. And we're, you know, I think it's, you know, we are a little bit of a special group of men and women who've done something a little bit different, and I think it's appropriate that we be recognized for some of the things that we've done. I see here that Nina's got here, okay, President Obama pledged that the fiscal restraint won't include cutting benefits of American veterans. We cannot, must not, and we will not balance the budget on the backs of our veterans, and as Commander-in-Chief, I won't allow it. So far, we're on track to have increased funding for Veterans Affairs by 30%. I think where they differ in opinion is that Obama wants to, I got to scroll down here in a second. But I got Vance on the line, so I'm going to go back here. And Vance, Dogman 2, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Are you there, Dale?
I am here.
Okay.
How are you? Thanks for calling in, Vance.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, I thought I'd help you fill in. There's a, and it's somewhat related to your original guest. There's a canine program at the University of Michigan is putting on November 15th. Canines that serve and protect us, and there's going to be several, a couple three handlers from Vietnam era. There's going to be some therapy dogs and some SNR search and rescue dogs. There's going to, I believe, it's going to take place from 11 to 1 o'clock at the Union at the U of M.
Okay, what date was that again, Vance?
15th.
November.
Yeah.
Now Vance is a expert in dogs.
Well, I'm just a former military handler. The experts are the ones that are currently doing it.
I realize that. And I don't know if you're the one to talk to about this or not, but maybe we can get somebody to call in and talk to us about these assistant dogs that are helping so many of these veterans as they're reacclimating themselves to civilian life and how they're able to help them out.
Right. There are going to be some people there on that program that day, Dale, and I'll get some contact information from them for you for a future program.
I think that would be terrific.
Yeah, don't you have something coming up on the 7th of November or 8th?
8th of November. The 8th of November, actually, this would be a good time to mention that. On the 8th of November, the Ann Arbor District Library, surprise folks, is sponsoring a panel discussion on the Vietnam War. And what they want to do is they want to have local veterans to be on the panel to talk about their experiences, not only in Vietnam, but also in living in the Washtenaw County area. And so if you'd like to get in on that panel, because we are looking for a couple of people, Vance is going to be there, I'll be there, Charlie Kettering will be there, and a couple of others, I'm hoping, I haven't heard back from, that will be there. Just pop an email to me, to dale@veteransradio.net. And that is at the Ann Arbor Public Library on November 8th at 7 o'clock in the evening. They're going to record it and play it. Evidently, they're going to play it back on public access television. And they want to do a whole series on the veterans of Washtenaw County. And I think it's about time. Let's put it that way.
For some
people here that have, you know, grew up in the Ann Arbor area or came to school here, it wasn't the most popular thing sometimes being a veteran 50 years ago. And, of course, that has changed greatly. But we want to make sure that this is an opportunity for you to meet some of the men and women from the Ann Arbor area who served in Vietnam. You never know. You know, Veterans don't have that big red V on their forehead, and you just won't know who they are. And I think you'll be surprised by some of these men and women that are on that panel. And I want to, Vance, I want to thank you. And while I've got you on the phone, I'm committing to going down to Milan again this year.
Okay, good.
So I will be there with you. What's the date of that?
The 12th.
12th of November.
Yeah, Monday the 12th.
Okay.
So they're at the Milan Middle School.
We will do that.
Good, super.
Thanks a lot, Vance. We're going to take another break. We'll be back in just a moment. If you'd like to have a comment, give us a call here at 877-573-7825. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet.
Thought that was pretty nice. I hope you enjoyed that. Celine Dion version of America the Beautiful. I want to welcome you back to Veterans Radio. For those of you that are tuning in to listen to the story about Until Tuesday, it looks like we're going to have to postpone that until another day. I'm not sure what happened with Louis Montalvan, but we'll find out and let you know, and hopefully everything is okay. I wanted to remind you that if you ever have an event that you would like us to publicize on Veterans Radio, please just send us an email either to me, Dale at Veterans Radio, or Bob at Veterans Radio, or if you go to our website at veteransradio.net, just click on Contact Us, and we will try to get that information on the air. I got one just recently, and I talked about this, I think, last week or the week before, but I think it's important. This is called The Wall That Heals, and the Traveling Vietnam Veterans Memorial and Museum is coming to Dearborn, Michigan on October 25th at 10 a.m., and the keynote speaker is going to be the Vietnam Veteran Memorial Foundation founder and president, Jan Scruggs. It's the 30th anniversary of the Vietnam Wall, which is why a lot of our veterans here in the local area, I know, are going to Washington, D.C. for that celebration of the 30th anniversary. But if you can't make it there, come on over to Dearborn and visit the Traveling Wall. It's going to be at the Ford Motor Company World Headquarters in Dearborn, Michigan. It's going to be there around the clock from October 25th at 10 a.m. until October 29th at 8 a.m. There's going to be a closing ceremony on October 28th at 6 p.m. on that day. If you'd like to help out, they need volunteers, of course, docents to direct people back and forth to the various panels of the wall if you are looking for a loved one or a friend. And you can call Lisa Lark at 313-410-8477. That's 313-410-8477. Or you can sign up online at www.vvmf.org/Dearborn Mich, M-I. That's vvmf.org/Dearborn MI, and send that off, and you'll be able to help them out. So you can go to the vvmf.org, find out more information about the Wall That Heals. It's coming to Dearborn, Michigan on October 25th at 10 o'clock. Jan Scruggs is going to be the speaker. This is sponsored by the Dearborn Allied War Veterans Council. Do it. I think you'll find it amazing. Even if you are not a Vietnam veteran, this is a very powerful exhibit, this Wall That Heals, and it was certainly something that was needed by us as Vietnam veterans. One of the things as I mentioned before, has been busily researching some things and talking about, you know, what President Obama wants to do and what Governor Romney wants to do for the veterans, and it's good to hear that both of them support veterans and that, you know, they want to make sure that we get the best care and the best treatment and so on and so forth. One of the differences possibly is that President Obama wants to transition away from a wartime military and redirect funds away from active military ventures and more into Vietnam, or not Vietnam, but veterans care in general. And Governor Romney wants to keep funding through the military, even though President Obama is trying to get us to leave the Middle East. And this is obviously a political discussion, and we don't need to get into it with, you know, 7 minutes to go today. So we're not going to do that too much. But if you've got a question or a comment, feel free. Give us a call here at Veterans Radio at 877-573-7825, and we'll be happy to get you on the air and let you voice your opinion, because we all know that you have them. That's one of the few things that we all do have in common, and that's opinions. I guess our opinions aren't in common, that's for sure. But you can give us a call, and we will be happy to get you on the air to talk about those things. There are so many issues coming up with this election. I think it is very, very important that we as a veterans group, you know, there's 25 million of us wandering around this country, and I think it's such a strong voting block, and sometimes I think that both parties kind of miss out on that. They appeal sometimes to our emotional issues, not to our factual issues and, you know, what we may have experienced ourselves. And I guess we're at that point now, and I don't know how important this is, you know, where all of our presidential candidates don't seem to have any military experience of their own. And I don't know. Sometimes I think that can be a detriment because they don't, you know, they have a little different mindset than we do as far as what we think is important and how it is important to think about what their mission is going to be before you send these men and women out in harm's way. And I'm hoping that, you know, that we don't have to do that anymore around the world. I know we keep seeming to get ourselves pushed into corners where we have to react, but boy, it'd be nice to settle some of these discussions and these arguments without having to, you know, to arm ourselves and send our men and women off to fight other people's battles. So that's my two cents, anyhow. So a couple of other issues that I wanted to bring up are a couple of programs that are coming up. And again, we always are looking for programming. So if you have an idea or a book that you want to promote or a story that you want to tell us about, contact us at Veterans Radio, and we will try to get that story on the air. I just received a new book from down in Florida, and I'm looking forward to putting that program together. For those of you that are down in Naples and listening to WDEO FM, we will try to get that story on the air. I got another one just the other day. They're all over the place, and it's a great opportunity for us to bring these stories to you, because that's what we want to do. That's what we do here at Veterans Radio, is we want to tell the stories of America's veterans. We don't want them to be forgotten. We don't want people to not understand what these men and women are going through, what men and women have gone through over the last 200 years. And so you'll find that if you go back to our archives, and as Bob was mentioning, we're coming up on 9 years of doing these programs. That's almost over 400 that we have done live every single Saturday morning. We are here, and we want to tell those stories. So if you, granddad or grandma or your husband or your uncle or your child have been in the service and they've got a story that they need to pass on, get them on to our program. We'll help them get those stories out. And we want to make sure that we support these different organizations that are supporting veterans' health. The Wounded Warriors Project. I just read a great article about Gary Sinise, all of you out there, about Captain Dan and his band. He's been all over the world entertaining troops and fundraising for all types of different things. And this one, he just happened to be on the East Coast in eastern Pennsylvania raising money to build a house. And I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the organization right now, but to build a house for a he's quadriplegic, but he doesn't have any arms or legs. This is what they did to it. They built a house for this man, and there was another one that was a triple amputee, and they had him up on stage with the band, and it was such a great article. So if you could get an opportunity to see that, it was in the Heritage newspapers over the week, and you just kind of type in Gary Sinise and veteran housing, and I'll bet you'll find that article. It's really, really kind of cool. And then, you know, again, on Veterans Radio, I had a neighbor that contacted me, and she says, oh, my neighbor, when I was growing up in Chicago, her son was this Gary Sinise guy, and he didn't want to go to college, so he started this theater group in Chicago, the Steppenwolf Theater. So it's a small world, folks, and we want you to become more and more part of that small world. And at Veterans Radio, we are so proud to bring you these stories, and we feel honored that we're able to do that. It's been a long day, and next week we've got Dwight Zimmerman's coming up to talk about With At Ease. That means that Dwight always has some great authors on to talk about their books. We've got Bob's got a program on the Enterprise coming up. We're going to be talking about the Marines. We're going to be talking about military law versus civilian law, especially with these trials starting up again with the terrorists down at Guantanamo. Gifts for Veterans at the beginning of December. We're going to do Bob Hope again this year. Lots of different things are going to be occurring here on Veterans Radio. I appreciate your listening in. We're going to play some great music for you today. And until next week, you are dismissed.
All views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.